Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Record.
Right, yeah. It's recording.
I'm on.
I've forgotten to do something really important.
What?
I've not watched the film.
No.
Right, let's rock and roll. Is everyone recording?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Hello and welcome back to episode 2 of the Sofa Cinema Club Series 2. I'm Colton Smith and I'm joined by...
Jack P. Shepherd. Ben Price.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together and we educate each other on the films that we should have seen but we haven't. The beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you need to do is watch along with the films that we watch at home and then come and listen to us every Thursday to join in and listen to our discussion on the film. Now, this series at the moment is a little bit different to the norm because we're recording it from lockdown. So me, Jack and Ben are not in the same place. I'm at home, Jack's at home, Ben's at home. You get the gist. So we're watching the film alone, and then we come in by the powers of technology and recording the session.
Was that some kind of cockerel in the back there?
I think it's you. I think it's the farm. It's the south.
Hang on, are you hearing like a snore?
What's that?
It's the dog. It's snoring.
It's got to stop.
It is. Hang on. Let me go wake her up because it's doing my head in.
It's very high pitched. Just for reference, Jack's now picked a dog up, moved it, and he's
right,
back in the room.
Oh, she needs to get that airway sorted out.
Yeah, she was.
That's bad for a dog of her size. That's a big snore on her, isn't it?
Each week, we come together and we talk about what we loved, hated and rated. The film we've watched this week has been chosen by the boys, and the film is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But before we get into it, we've not seen each other now for 3-4 weeks. I mean, What have you been up to? There's not much to do, but has anything changed?
From last week.
Lego,
What have you built, Jack? Yeah. What have you built?
Are you onto the Taj Mahal? Have you finished it?
No, not yet. Not onto that yet. I'm nearly finishing the Batman. I'm taking it slowly. You know what I mean? I mean, I could have done it all in a day, but where's the fun in that? I'm going to try and drag
pricey,
it out.
Pricey, that Lego as well, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. And, not really done anything else. Done the podcast with you. It's been on social media. That's getting boring now. Running out of things to do. I'm going to have
TikTok.
To do something.
Have you started TikTok?
I have signed up to TikTok, yeah. I'm still trying to work it out. It is still confusing.
By the time this episode comes out, will you have posted onto TikTok?
Yeah.
Just people doing stupid dances.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm going to try and recreate the Hugh Grant dance from Love Actually. That'll be mint.
I made a TikTok, and then I only wanted to do it to see if I could do it, and then I decided I could do it, and I decided nobody ever needed to
see
it.
Did you do flip the switch with your mum?
No, I didn't. It's very weird being back at my parents. Like, they've adapted a lifestyle now that suits two people. Like, there's only two there's only two sofas, and the way they sit on them are both really antisocial for anybody else sitting down.
How small are the sofas?
They're big. But the way they've positioned,
they won't let you on the sofa.
Do they
you have to
down,
sit
like,
on the
when
floor.
When you're on holiday, put towels on the sofa so you can't sit there. Do they run down at 5 a.m? And go, no, oh, no, no. Off you, sod off, Colson. You go to the garden furniture.
It's the way they position them. The way they position them to the TV means that you can only see the TV if you sat in one place. And that one place, I can't get in. So it's a little bit antisocial. And there are other things that are a bit weird. Because obviously I'm in a routine now, and now I'm coming into my parents' routine. So it's very bizarre, actually.
Do you have to queue for the loo?
Don't have to queue for the loo.
Did your mum tuck you in at night?
She comes in, checks them all right. They were going to watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with me. And
my girlfriend watched it with me.
But they didn't want to get in bed with you.
Can I just say, whilst we're on the topic of watching the films, Amazon, £14.99 pregnancy pillow. Wow. The greatest purchase ever. You both said, you're doomed, you'll be straight asleep. It is perfect. Last night, I sat in my bed from 10:30 at night till about 12:40 watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I tell you what, I did not move once. I was there, arms resting, sat back,
phone,
enjoying it.
Phone? On your phone?
No, probably. Yes. I looked at it to see if you text, and you hadn't.
Well, I was watching the film.
But do you know what? It was mint. pregnancy pillow. You'd never think. A pregnancy pillow. No. It works so well. Have you got anything to talk about, Ben?
Dog keeps escaping, and that's a right nightmare. They live next to this. There's loads of trees in this forest, and the dog. And I've barricaded the dog. Perfect. Loads of old wood. Loads of fencing. All this kind of stuff. Just as she's going to go to bed at night after watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, 1 a.m, she just goes straight off into the wood. And this girl, next door neighbour, down the road's got rabbits, and she's just straight over there. So I have to go round in my undies and get the dog. So that's my lockdown. In going, come on now, come on, at 1 a.m.
In your strategies. Excuse me, sir, what are you doing out? I'm walking the dog. No, you're not.
No, you're not, sir. You're into the shops, no, I haven't. I'm walking round a wood in my underpants, shouting for a dog.
Not in
it's
your...
really legit, really.
Not in your striped dressing down.
No, I'm in striped. No, I just went. I didn't have time for dressing gown. It's just full undies, the crown slippers, and I'm out. Giving it the full. I hope I don't get mugged in the forest.
It did make me
it's
laugh.
It's not a usual dog's name either, is it? To be shouting at 1 a.m.
I know. I didn't want to say that. Like, you knew
star.
What's that man doing? He's looking for a star.
I'm looking for myself.
It did make me laugh the other day, actually, when we said that we were going to ring each other at 6 o'clock or whatever, and then you put in the chat, make it 6:15, the dog's escaped. Me and Jack
it's
were
stressful.
Sat in the chat, and we went, neither of us text to say, oh, it'd be fine there. We just went, all right.
See, it comes back now. Now what I've worked out is, you open the back gate. So this morning she gets out. I open the back gate. I'm going to make a coffee. Take it easy. I sit down. She strolls back in. Hiya! Like she's been out on the tiles. Hiya! I can go out. I'm a dog. You can't. You're human.
Oh. You not just walk it round with a lead.
But it's in the garden, Jack. You can't walk it in the garden on a lead. I walk it outside in the woods. You just let it go. That's fine. She comes back. It's when she's in the garden, she jumps over into the wood next door.
Maybe that she's should like, be your isolation like hobby. Is dog proof in the garden. massive perimeter fence.
What I need is one of those big lights that I can just try pinpoint her on it in the middle of the wood.
So last night my parents were going to watch the film with me. We wanted to watch it on Saturday, and then I said I was going to watch it on Saturday, and Jack got on his high horse and went, no, you have to watch it the day before we do the podcast so it's fresh in the mind. So
that makes sense. That makes sense.
But my parents refused to watch it on a Monday night because apparently they're both too busy and important to be staying up past 1 o'clock
but
to watch.
They still stayed on the sofas though, Colson, didn't they?
Because
they didn't get a bed.
I had to watch it upstairs.
Colson, are you hearing anything from their bedroom now? What?
Are you hearing any noises, Coulson? Are you hearing how awkward? Or are they hearing any noises from your bedroom? Coulson's swearing at me for all those views without pictures. But it's worth pulling out there, isn't it?
Right, let's have a synopsis then. whose turn is it? Jack, synopsis.
So, synopsis for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So, Randall P. McMurphy, played by Jack Nicholson, is an inmate in a prison. And so that he doesn't have to go to the prison, he opts and says that he's mental. He's got mental problems. So they have to take him to an asylum, and then they have to try and work out if he is mental or if he's just pulling their leg so that he's getting off with an easy time. And in there, he meets some characters, some of the patients that are there, and a nurse that he doesn't best get on with.
Good.
Done.
Liked
That's
it.
The synopsis.
Well done. Yeah. Did you take a breath? It's very good.
Yeah.
Jack, you have an obsession with Jack Nicholson, don't you?
He's my favourite actor, yeah.
I've seen The Shining, I've seen As Good As It Gets, and now I've seen this.
Yeah. And what do you think of his acting ability?
He always... I mean, from the films that I've seen that you like him in, he portrays mental health. Like...
Yeah, he does seem a bit unhinged.
Yeah.
In them films, yeah.
All he seems to do is portray mental health. Yes, he does it really well, but that's kind of him, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
And how different are the characters? Because that character is similar to the character that's in The Shining.
No.
Do you not think?
I wouldn't say that, no. Well, his character changes during The Shining, doesn't it?
Yeah. I just think when he plays something, like... So, what I think the one bit that I was thinking for the whole film, which probably you two weren't thinking because you've seen it before, all I was thinking is he putting it on? Which is kind of the premise of the film, isn't it? Is them working it out. And me as the viewer for the first time, I was trying to work that out too. And I couldn't really...
He's completely putting it on.
But I couldn't work it out.
But I don't think he is. I'm going to throw a curveball in. As in, I think what he's saying is... He's as sane or as mental as the other ones in there. Because you get to that bit where they're all sat down and he suddenly clicks that some of them choose to be there.
Mm.
And I think what he was looking at and what the book is talking about and what he's saying as a character is that's him as a character, a bit off.
Yeah.
But he could have easily been in that hospital if he'd taken a different turn. I think he's just there thinking, because there's a pivot in the movie, isn't there? He's in the swimming pool. There's a pivot in the film where he goes, I've only got 60 days and I'm out.
Yeah.
And the guy, one of the hospital porters goes, oh, no. Your prison sentence, your prison time doesn't translate to hospital time. They can keep you as long as they want.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's pretending to be disturbed. I think he's just having a right old laugh.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
So,
yeah. You were saying he is mental, though.
No, he's not mental. That's, I'm saying he's not putting anything on. He is just what he is in that
hospital. He is just being himself. He's told them, though, that he is mental.
But it's all a gag to him.
He'll
get found out after 30 days.
Yeah.
He'll go back to prison. Free. He's got another 30 days. He's like, it was a bit of a gag.
A jolly,
I get to smoke. I get to muck around.
Play some cards.
Great. And then the pivot of the movie is when he turns around and goes, oh, no. You can be here as long as they want.
Mm.
And that's the moment it flips for him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he decides, right, I've got to escape.
Yeah.
For me, you know when he first comes in and meets everybody and he's looking around and there's kind of that shot of him taking in his surroundings, working out where he is, and he's a bit like, okay, I can make this work. And then he has that bit where he kind of looks up and lets out like that laugh and starts to jump around to like mimic insaneness. But that to me showed a level of insanity to do that. So when I was watching it, I'm still working out. And even when it finished, I was, you know, how much was he putting on? So it's interesting that you both kind of have a different way on that, because I'm not sure if I'd agree with either.
You know the group therapy?
Yeah.
Mm.
So that became group therapy. They lived in the hospital or the actors. And that group therapy became group therapy, and they just filmed it. So they didn't know what they were going to do or what they were going to write or what they were filming. So that they had those therapy sessions. Because when I was watching it, I was thinking, it's bloody well filmed. Because it feels so real.
Yeah.
It's so real. Yeah. Like Danny DeVito as Martini is so good.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's brilliant. Apparently, he invented...
You mean Mr. Wormwood?
Who's Mr. Wormwood?
He's in Matilda, isn't he? He's Matilda's dad.
Yes, Mr. Wormwood. But he invented, while they were filming, an imaginary friend to get himself through it. They all went a bit off. That's what was interesting, is that they all had psychosis. Even Nicholson, didn't he?
Mm. So when was the film released?
75?
75, 74? Was it filmed
How
in
old
74?
Is the book?
63.
And the book and film, two different writers?
Well, the guy who wrote the book actually sued the production company, Michael Douglas, because he produced it, for not living up to his end of the bargain to change... He changed too much of the book. Like, Charlie Cheswick is meant to die in the swimming pool, and
Narrated, isn't it, in the book?
Yeah.
So it comes from one person's point of view, narrated through the book.
And whose point of view?
It's another character we don't see in the film.
Okay. Right.
There's a doctor or something, and he's talking about everyone in there, and it was narrated from that. Kirk Douglas wanted to play it because he played it in the play. It was a play.
Yeah.
From the book, it became a play. Kirk Douglas got the film, got the book rights, sent it to the director. The director never received them. It took them another 5 or 10 years to get round to saying, why haven't we made it? By that time, Kirk Douglas was too old.
To play the part.
Yeah,
He wanted to play Nicholson's part.
He wanted to play Nicholson's part. And he's never seen it. The writer never saw the film.
Oh, really?
Never watched it. Point of principle.
He must have done. How come he sued him then?
The script must have been the script. He'd never watch it. He saw one clip and didn't know what it was, realised what it was, and switched it immediately off. Because it wasn't the book he'd written. I think he was obviously coming from
if he's written it from a point of view of the doctor, a healthcare professional, and then you're seeing the film from the point of view of Nicholson... You're going from a patient to a doctor, which is two completely different stories. Yeah. So I see why.
That happened again for another Jack Nicholson film in The Shining. Stephen King didn't like The Shining because it was so different from the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Kubrick changed it. But it is different because Kubrick tries to keep it on a more real aspect, whereas Stephen King, the baddie in the Shining is the hotel. So the hotel comes alive, and in the maze, all the statues start moving, and Kubrick said, it's just a bit too far-fetched for me, pal.
I'm not having that. Give me an axe.
I'm not having that.
I'll have an axe and some snow, please, and then we're off. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, I'm gonna either upset you or you're either gonna agree with me, but I'm gonna tell you what I think. So, I enjoyed one part of the film a hell of a lot more than I enjoyed any other part of the film. When they're not in the hospital, I'd loved it. Okay? The minute, about 40 minutes in, they escape, they go on the boat trip, and I went, this is it. This is going to be mint. Because I thought, that's the film. The film is...
Oh, them out. Crazy people out. Yeah.
Interestingly, they didn't want to... the director didn't want that whole scene. He never wanted to go outside of the hospital.
Who did?
They filmed it. The director did. I think Nicholson wanted to do it, or they suggested filming it. They filmed it, and then it got put in, and they didn't want to do it.
I know Nicholson and the director didn't actually get on while filming it, because the director had a view that the asylum would be complete chaos when Nicholson's character first gets introduced. And Nicholson said, well, no, it should be all calm, it should be fine, and it should be my character's introduction to the asylum that then changes everything,
makes it,
which is what ended up happening in the film. But that they didn't speak to each other. They refused to speak throughout the whole film. And the director would call for rehearsals with all the cast to rehearse his idea of what he wanted to do in the film.
I'm not
Jen Nicholson. No, no. Nicholson told all the cast members to not turn up. And they didn't. And they turned up to Nicholson's rehearsals, and they rehearsed together without the director.
So is Nicholson a bit of a bellend?
Well, he also had some stakes in what the film would make. He did that quite a lot. He did with Batman.
He did it big with Batman. He always took a bit on the back end.
He took a percentage of what the film makes, and then he's got more power than just being the lead actor.
So have you, Coulson, essentially, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, we've established, is set in a hospital, and you've just literally said the only bit you liked was the bit that wasn't set in a hospital. Yeah. So for the bit that was a bit like Jaws, when they're in a boat going round fishing, they escape, don't they?
Yeah.
They escape out, he takes all the inmates out, and they're all having, they have a fishing trip, and they catch a massive, I don't know what it is, tuna or something.
But the bit where, so the minute he's on Chief's shoulders, I'm like, well, he's obviously going to get caught. And then when he gets over, I'm like, oh, okay, this is the film. So in my head then, I was like, we've just gone from what I think was going to be a wanky, arty film in a hospital to out and about.
Wanky, arty film.
We're in a school bus and we're on a boat and it's mint.
Oh my goodness, it's Speed all over again.
And then
when they're coming back in the fishing trip, you won't know who this is, Coulson. But Angelica Houston is
Whitney's sister.
She was going out with Jack Nicholson.
Morticia Adams from Adams Family.
Yes.
You seen that?
Yeah, she said.
I've seen that.
You seen The Witches? You seen The Witches?
No.
Coulson?
No.
The Witches?
I haven't.
You have?
I haven't. I genuinely haven't. I know I should have, but I haven't.
So, just getting back to it, Coulson, the fishing trip finishes, and that's the end of the film for you.
Well, if it was, I'd have been buzzing, because then we've only had an hour and 20, but there was another hour of the film, which was in hospital. But for me, that second half was a lot better, because I think watching the film first time, it took the escape and the fishing trip for me to understand Nicholson's character. Because at first, it's all quite confusing, and it's a long opening and it's a long setting of you learning what these characters are. So the scene where they're playing cards, that essentially is an introduction to all the characters, yeah? It's an introduction for the audience. You two forget that when you're watching it, you already know who they are, whereas...
Yeah, but we have had to watch it once the first
but
time.
But I haven't got a clue this time, so I, you know, just watched it not knowing.
It's a bit like Racing Stripes. I never realised the zebra. I didn't get to know the zebra.
Whereas me and Stripes were best friends.
You were best mates. Yes, I think that, but don't you think that's very clever? Is that what he does is set up the hospital so very well and those characters so very well, and then you've got that basis, so then when they do escape on the fishing trip, you're kind of like, oh, this is a bit... I love the bit where he introduces them all as doctors.
As doctors.
Yes. They all change, don't they?
Yes.
They go, hello, I am a doctor. It's like someone believed it.
Very famous Mr. Dr. Cheswick. He goes,
they loved it. He goes, yes. So there's a bit just before they get on the boat where the guy stops them getting on the boat And says, what are you doing? He goes, oh yeah, we're from the hospital, we're all doctors. And he introduces all the inmates as doctors, each patient, and they love it.
Yeah. Apart from Harding, who he doesn't quite like. He calls him Mr. doesn't he?
Yeah, not doctor.
Mr.
Not
Harding.
It's a brilliant bit in the film. Yeah. It's brilliant.
But that whole bit, from the minute they escape, that 20 minutes is fun. But
Coulson, you own it, and we've done this before in films.
Yeah, yeah.
You only get that payoff of the fishing trip by having the setup before it. If it was a fishing trip with some blokes all in a, going round in a circle trying to catch a tuna, it's not interesting.
But Ben, I beg to differ. Coulson would love that fucking film. Fishing trip, going round in circle, sign me up.
Is there a zebra in it?
There is actually a film that came out about a fishing trip called Fisherman's Friends. I'm sure it will feature on the podcast at some point.
Oh, God.
But
oh.
You will love it. But, so we go back to the hospital. We've had the fishing trip. He's no longer really talking about escaping because, one, he's proved he can do it. Now,
but he still thinks at this point, Coulson,
he's leaving.
He's going to get out. He's leaving.
But
it hasn't occurred to him yet. He might have to stay there indefinitely.
But he's now developed a different type of friendship, and he's got the respect of all of them. Because when they're taking the bets, that's him gaining respect. And he can't get respect because he can't pick up the water cooler. So, you know, that's a bit of a knockback. Then he escapes, then he has the respect, and they all kind of believe in him. And they're all together, and he is the
ringleader
of
that. Because doesn't he start treating them as people rather than patients?
Which is all this. He, in effect, he looks after them better than a staff member does. Well,
better than Nurse Ratched does.
Yeah.
That's the point.
And the main story, Fred, that's shown in is his relationship with Chief.
Yeah.
So Chief is a character that they call deaf and dumb. So he doesn't speak, he can't hear you, he doesn't talk, he doesn't really move, he's just there. He's massive, he's 7 foot. Whereas Jack Nicholson's character really makes the effort. And it's clear that nobody has made the effort with Chief. And it takes him a good hour into the film for him to break down into this character. But when he does, there's this friendship built. And that was the other part in the film that I really liked, was the friendship between them two characters. And obviously that's kind of the friendship that carries us through until the end of the film, which, without giving too much away at this point, we won't touch on just yet. But
you might as well, because this podcast is all about people who have seen this, isn't it? I don't know. You meant to watch the film and then you join
Plot twist, we're not going to tell you. They did want another ending. They didn't want the ending that you see, which is Jack Nicholson being character being lobotomised.
The ending...
Is it lobotomised in that way they cut your head open?
They cut your head open. So what happens is Nicholson's character decides he's got to escape because he could be in the hospital indefinitely. He gets these girls to come into the hospital. They have this huge party. There's drink. He gets the keys. He's going to open the window and escape. He gets drunk. He falls asleep. He wakes up. They lock him back in. He's not going to be able to escape. And they start giving him electric shock therapy, putting electrodes on his brain.
Yeah.
He comes back in and goes, no, he's fine. But then at the very end of the film, he's lobotomized. So they take the two scars
on
the
top
of his head. They chop out, which is what they used to do. They used to cut out
bits
of people's brain. And it lobotomized you. So it made you, functional.
Gone.
But that's it.
Nothing.
Gone. And Chief kills him.
Smothers him with a pillow, doesn't he?
Smothers him with a pillow.
Going through where I was with the film, the bits that I said I liked were the happy and the light bits. So I was not expecting this to have the sad ending that it had. Even up to the point of the party is really high tempo. You know, he's clearly going to escape. He's practically escaped. He's got all the opportunity there to go. But then, obviously, he falls asleep because he does something nice for one of the other patients, which kind of shows a difference in his personality.
The only thing that happens, though, Coulson, towards the end of the film, which is the big twist when he wakes up, is he tries to kill the nurse.
Yeah.
He tries to strangle her.
But why does he try to kill her?
Because
he blames her for the Billy
for the death
killing
of Billy.
Himself.
Yeah. Because she mentions Billy's mum, which is clearly a very sensitive subject, and she keeps mentioning it, and Nicholson's character clicks on that there's something sensitive around that, and then he goes and kills himself after the nurse has pressured him into doing it.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's sad. And it came from nowhere.
I watched this with my girlfriend last night, and she had a completely different opinion of the film.
Had she seen
Nurse Ratched? She'd not seen it before. She finished watching it, and I went, "It's good, isn't it?" I went, "Nurse Ratched, what a bitch." She went, "No, she's not. She's not. She was like the one I was rooting for." Oh, I went,
"She was
what?
Doing a good job."
She was like, "No, he came in and he took the piss. He was acting like a dickhead all the way through the film. There's people in that hospital that are really unwell, and he's in there. He's taking them out on fucking fishing trips. Yeah. He's bringing in prostitutes. He's forced Billy to have sex with that girl. So, yeah, she was just trying to do her job and control everything, and he was just running around like a dickhead. So she said, I had no compassion for him whatsoever when he got killed. Deserved it.
I like that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's it.
She's got a point, though.
Turn the light
off. She's
got a very good point. Very good point. I like that.
Because everyone I've always known to watch that film has said, Nurse Ratched, what an evil bitch.
Because you're so beguiled by Nicholson, aren't you? Because you're almost so in love with that character Nicholson plays, that romantic character, and see her as... authority really.
He does from day one. He picks her as the enemy and he goes for it. From the minute he's in the hospital, you know, he picks her out. He tries to make her life hell, and he does. And it starts off with little things like changing the music, not taking the tablets. Then it develops into a little bit bigger things, and then obviously at the end he physically tries to kill her. But there is an argument as to whether she did entice that throughout the film, but I definitely do think, even after what your girlfriend said, Jack, the scene with Billy, there is clearly something there where Nurse Ratched, you look at her and you go, that's nasty. What she's doing there is nasty. Because you see Billy is a character, he's by far the youngest person in the hospital. You know, he's a patient that Nicholson probably has a better connection with out of most. And when you watch her push him, you just think, that's nasty. And you because you're kind of seeing the film from Nicholson's perspective, can see why he goes to strangle her and tries to kill her. Like,
well, he gets involved, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He goes from a point, that's what's so clever about the film and the book. You start off with a character who just wants an easy ride and have a bit of a laugh and wind everyone up, to the point where he's fighting for them.
Yeah.
He's fighting for those guys.
He feels responsible for them.
I mean, it's a hell of an acting job.
But then he finds out they're voluntary as well.
Yeah,
that
that's a big moment, isn't it, Jack? That's a big moment.
When they sat down in the group therapy thing and he says, you shouldn't be treating them like this. None of you are crazy. And she sort of says, no, they're here on their own accord. I'm not keeping anybody prisoner. So he's like the only one who... is. I mean, there's a few others on the ward that are technically
but
not
the majority
allowed, but the majority
choose to be there,
choose
don't
to
they?
Be there, yeah.
And they start putting their hands up when he asks them, who else has to stay? And they don't. They can leave. And he can't get his head around that.
No.
I think that really spins him. It's very clever. There's two really huge bits in the middle of that film, kind of plot twists, where you see him play it brilliantly as well. You see that facade drop, don't you?
It was the first film that I've actually watched for a while. And when the credits come up,
Did you just sit there and watch? Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. Like, we did that last night.
I wasn't in a rush to turn it off. And then I was kind of awake. Because I was like, oh, it's rough.
But it makes you think.
And he didn't deserve it.
And he had so much life.
Yeah.
That character had so much life in him. And at the end, he's lobotomised, he's got nothing. That's why Chief kills him, smothers him with a pillow.
And that the bit of Chief where it's like, that is that absolute beauty and utmost of friendship, where Chief's gone, okay, there's only one thing that I can do for him now.
Yeah.
And Chief kills him because Chief knows that he's not there anymore. Yeah. And that, you know, that's a big thing. And that kind of story of Jack Nicholson's character being the only one to make the effort with Chief, and then Chief's way of repaying him is by killing him.
Like, smart.
But it's sad. Like, it is sad. So for me, you know, Ben's laughing and joking about the fish and chip, but the film has taken you from a high of a fish and chip to an unexpected low of the ending. Because my personal feeling, when they said that he was coming back, there's a rumour that he's escaped, and I thought, we're just never going to know. It's just going to be lights off and we're never going to know. But when I saw him walking back, I thought, well, he's had the shock therapy and it'll have done exactly the same as it did last time. And he comes back and they've obviously done this operation on his brain. They, in effect, have taken the personality away. And then it happens and it's like, it is rough.
That's a 10 all over there, Coulson, isn't it, kid?
I mean, Jack... Jack talked Racing Stripes up last week, so this is my perfect time to say it's a 2.
Well, we go first, actually, because it's our film.
Go on then, let's get into it. Let's have the ratings.
Well, for me, I think it's got everything. I think the writing, even the score, even that's up there. The acting, the cast.
Won 5 Oscars, didn't it, Jeff?
5, yeah.
Won
all 5 top big ones. It's a 10 from me, anyway.
A 10?
10, yeah.
It literally is shit or bust for you, isn't it? Like, it's fuck all or full guns.
No, that's only my second 10, I think. Ben?
I'll tell you what I love about it. The complexity of the story, the simplicity of the filming. He doesn't muck around with camera shots. He makes you feel like you're in that hospital so very quickly with these patients. And each one of them is very, very good. Yeah. They create a whole in tiny little ways. Martini, all this. I think
all the characters, I think, could stand alone as the lead character in any other film. I mean, that's how good the cast is.
Yeah. And I think he's sensational. I think she's sensational. I think the ending is absolutely fantastic. I think it's a film that sits with you, and it's from the 70s. And we're watching it now and still talking about it in 2020. And that's extraordinary. So, 10.
10.
Wow. It's already scored more than Racing Stripes.
Oh, really? Yeah. What a tragedy. That's awful. Well, there's a fault in our system, surely.
As I said,
it's a zebra that thinks it's a horse.
It is a slightly one-sided podcast, but I have got the nation backing
me. That's the premise, Coulson.
So, fishing trip. I wouldn't say there's anything that I particularly didn't like. There was the odd bit that I found frustrating, and that's only when it was in the hospital, and I would probably say that was the pace of it. But then, like Ben has explained, you have to go at a pace to get the reward of the film.
Yeah.
So understanding that and taking that in, and the fact that the film did make me go, okay, here we go. They're on a fishing trip. This is mint. This is funny.
So then they're going to get a tuna. Maybe a crab.
To then the point of the sadness at the end. And it really is, you know, a sadness at the end. And it is a bit of a, you know, in a, pardon the fishing pun, it is wind out of the sails in, you know, the end. I'm going to go. I'm going to take a leaf out of Jack's book. I'm going to go
8.5. 8.5? That's big.
It is big. Ooh. And... You know, I won't go... The only bit is, for me, I've seen better films.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's fine,
when
yeah.
people...
I think 8.5 is very steady.
When people ask me about very a film, steady. I can definitely talk about it. I can definitely hold a conversation on it. But it's not got... It's, yeah.
It's 8.5. Yeah, I think that seems like a very steadied rating, Coulson.
So 28.5 out of 30, which takes it straight to the top of the leaderboard of Series 2. With Racing Stripes in a close second.
What did Racing Stripes
15.
Get?
15.
So, two completely different films in two episodes. That kind of is what we're about at the Sofa Cinema Club. That's what we've done for the past series, and that's what we're going to continue to do for this. This time, I want you to go, oh, fucking hell, he's pulled something out of the bag here. He really has. So it's a film that you might not have heard of. I think Ben has, because I think I've probably had this conversation with it. Jack, I don't think you have. As you two know, as everyone is about to know, obviously most of my family live in New Zealand. It's a film from New Zealand. It is called Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh!
It is an unbelievable film. Happy birthday, Ricky! Ricky Baker, 13 today.
Have you seen it, Jack?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, mate.
It's a great film. It's a producer banger. Ben's favourite film. And my head's from the reaction, I'm already happy.
Oh, right. It's good. It must be good.
Mate, you're going to love it.
Is it good? Yeah.
It's a great film, mate.
Ricky Baker. You'll love it, Jack. You'll love it. Do you know what? This could be, I'm going to throw it out there, even before, this could be a big 10-10-10.
Really? Is that good?
Jack, you're going to love this, dude. It's good. You're going to love it, mate. It's brilliant.
So, watch it at home. Be back.
It's on Netflix, I think.
I think it'll be. It's on one of the streaming services. Make sure you watch it. It definitely is worth watching. Banger. It's not the usual shite that I pick. It's got what I like.
I love that. That's got to be the key for the podcast. It's not the normal shit I pick. So listen next week, because it's not the normal shit. It's better. It's a good film this time.
It's got a little bit of something else. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Thank you.
Good night. God bless.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.